Miss Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And today we have a special guest for you, a Christmas gift, one of the dearest teachers and way showers of my heart, the beloved, beautiful, precious, dear Edwin King.
Thank you for being here, Edwin.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
I also want to say that you're one of the foremost motivational speakers of our time, and a minister, and a New York Times best-selling author of the wonderful book, which I really recommend. Say it. I always get tongue-tied on
it. It's called, the name of the book is The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, A Simple Guide to Unlimited Abundance. It's published by Rodale, and it's doing very well. I'm so grateful. The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity by Edwin Gaines.
And Edwin, we're going to give away five autographed copies of this book to our first five emailers. And my email address is miracles, MIRACLES, HP, at yahoo.com. And we'll talk about that a little later. I just want to be sure I don't forget. Five autographed copies of Edwin's wonderful book, which I use every day. Two things I want to be sure we cover is your definition of prosperity and also your mission statement, Edwin, is so inspiring to me.
Yes. In 1976, I made a commitment to the Lord of my being, the goddess within me, that I would be 100% responsible for the transformation of the abundance consciousness of planet Earth. Now, I'm very clear, and I joke about that I just don't have a clue how to do this. But what I really know is that when we put our intention out there, the way is shown. I know that for sure. And as for my definition of prosperity, a lot of people think prosperity is just money. And it includes money, but it's a whole lot more than just money. For me, prosperity is a vitally alive, healthy body for this God being that we are to express through. Prosperity is relationships that are joyous and satisfying and intimate and honest and nurturing and that work all the time. Prosperity is work that we love so much, it's not work, it's play. And prosperity is all the money we can spend. And when we live at that level, I believe we're living at that level that the master teachers call the kingdom of heaven, that level of true abundance that is our birthright.
You know what else it is? It's the thing from the Course in Miracles that says, if you're not perfectly happy, you're refusing to acknowledge God's will for you. God's will for you is perfect happiness.
Yes.
And I think about that over and over.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So you're really talking about living at the level of miracles. And I wanted to say to people that I had the opportunity to take your Millionaire Mind class. I'm not even thinking about it. Well, last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so amazing to me and to walk on fire with you.
Oh, that was fun, wasn't it?
Not always.
And to have your wonderful sons there as well.
Aren't they wonderful?
Yes, they are.
And you know what? It was a completion for me because I used to, for years and years and years and years, I've been taking transformational seminars, and I would see, mothers and fathers and sons taking classes with their children, and I think, oh, how lucky they are! I wish my parents were here. How would that feel to have my parents here.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents sort of never did want to do that. They just sort of wanted to write it out as everybody said it was, you know, on the planet.
Yeah.
But now I have my children with me doing mm-hmm. those things.
How fabulous.
Isn't
it? So what a blessing.
It is so, it's such a miracle for me. And I wanted to say something about the fire walk, because you specialize in doing things that people consider impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And walking on fire is something people in general have considered impossible.
Yes.
And, you know, you really got us well prepared. And everybody that did the walk came through it victorious.
Yes.
And there were about 30 people. And I had, you know, heard about what Tony Robbins does is say to people, you are going to experience this as cool moss.
Mm-hmm.
Cool moss, cool moss. When you're walking across.
Right.
And, you know, I thought of that. And when I got on that fire, it was not cool moss, Edwin.
That's true.
And I could feel red embers sticking to my feet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my mind came in then and said, honey girl, you are in deep trouble.
But it didn't burn you, did it?
No. But I had to put that aside and say, now, you're already on here, honey. Let's do this.
That's right.
You don't do the firewalk half through.
That's right.
And then Sonny was there. He must have walked 17 times. I thought you were going to stop him.
I know. He was so precious.
And then he did the little chow, chow, chow.
And his little dancing on the fire. So darling. But the thing is, the truth is, Iris, we can do so much more than we think we can. And we've heard so many people say, but you can't, but you can't, but you can't. And so we've believed it. And the truth is, we are amazing human beings with unlimited possibilities of expression. And there's just no limit, no lack to what we can do if we really, really set our minds to it.
I know. I thought of that when you were in India.
Yes.
And I was thinking about your mission statement that you take total responsibility. To say it again. It's total responsibility for
the prosperity consciousness of the abundance consciousness of the world.
And I thought, and she's going to India. Boy, are they shaken up. Because, you know, a lot of people in the 80s, friends of mine went to India, and they came back all holy and pure, you know, and they were bathing in the water in the river in January,
yeah.
And using one square of toilet paper and only eating, you know, roots and berries and things.
Right.
And they'd come back, and I was swimming in an 83-degree pool and offering them donuts and just...
Right.
It was so guilty.
It's such a contrast, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm.
And, you know, I think that you specialize in something I call the inner permissor.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think
yes.
people have, because there have been so many people in poverty, that it's been really hard for us to accept having lavish abundance?
Yes. And you're right. We have to give ourselves permission to do so, or we won't. We'll feel guilty about it. And the truth is, there's more than enough to go around on planet Earth. We are working on distribution, but the lavish abundance is already here.
And it's just to say yes.
Yes, to give yourself permission to enjoy it, not to suffer. If our suffering did other people any good, I would say let's do it. But our suffering does not help people.
No, it doesn't. it does not help anybody. And, I get sort of tired of that thing of saying somebody's horrible suffering was a blessing to the family, or, you know. It's like, I try not to be that stupid that I have to get hit by a 2x4.
Right.
To open myself.
No, you don't need pain in order to learn. Now, pain causes a lot of people to learn because they believe that's the way that they have to. But you don't have to have pain. If you really do believe that you're made in the image and likeness of something so holy and so powerful and so wonderful that loves you with an everlasting, unconditional love, then you're going to expect good and only good in your life.
And I just want to say amen and hallelujah. And yes. All women, Edwin.
Yes, absolutely.
You go, girl. Now, one of the things you talk about in your Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, see, I have had people just say, oh, I can't get there from here. You know?
Yeah.
There's no way. And you have lived a rags-to-riches story.
Yes. And it's just a matter of taking the first step. You've heard that old saw about every journey begins with the first step. And all you have to do is begin. And my belief is that there are four beginnings that we have to make. And one of them, we've talked so much about, is that we have to acknowledge that there's a higher power that I call God, that is our source, the source of all the good in our life, and that we have to acknowledge that, and the way is by taking an action, and that action is by returning one-tenth of all that we've received back to that person, place, or institution where we've received our spiritual food. For example, if someone receives spiritual food from listening to your radio show, then they should go into prayer and ask, Father, Mother, God, where does this tithe go? And they get the answer, well, I got it from listening to Iris Jackson and her fabulous show. Then they should send the tenth in there. That's my belief. And I know that it works. I've seen it work over and over and over. The promise is in the Bible, if you're a Bible student, that when you do this, the windows of heaven open for you. And what a magnificent promise. And I urge people to put that to the test, to see for yourself. Try it. Give yourself a 6-month testing period and just see what happens. Amazing things happen. Now, the ego mind will tell you, perhaps, that there's not enough to go around. But I promise you there is always more than enough if you will just put this promise to the test. That's one of those four spiritual laws. It's called the tithe, T-I-T-H-E. The word tithe means a tenth. Doesn't mean 3%, doesn't mean 7%, doesn't mean what's left over after you pay the bills. It's one-tenth off the top, given back where you've been fed spiritually.
That's so important, and I just wanted to say, just because it's my show, you might be fed spiritually by hearing Edwin. So,
right.
I just want to say it might go to you, and it might go to BBS, and
absolutely,
you know,
it might go to someone who told you about the show. Only you know, and the way that you know is you go into prayer, and you first of all you thank God for whatever comes your way, and then secondly you ask God, where does this tithe go? Where have I been fed? And sometimes it goes all to one person or one radio show or one church or one teacher, and sometimes you split it up and send a portion here, and a portion here, depending on the answers that you get in prayer.
You know, one of the answers I've gotten in prayer lately is there are some people in my life that if I show up in front of them, I would feel ashamed not to give 1,000% to God, to what God expects me to be, to what God intended me to be.
I hear you.
And for me, that's always reaching for perfection, divine perfection on every level. That means I'm always loving, I'm always happy.
Absolutely.
I am always doing things that serve. And I would feel, I would just feel like I didn't deserve their presence to be any less than that, you know?
I hear you.
I've been sending out tithe checks to people that inspire, uplift, encourage, and they are so excellent in the ways of doing things that I know they're being exactly what God intended them to be on earth.
That's so wonderful.
And I love just sending them a card and telling them that and saying, you inspire me. You make me want to be more what God wanted Iris to be.
And isn't that a wonderful feeling to be able to do that?
It is the best, Edwin. And I want to tell you, I really tested that one. And I was tested on it because I think if you start out in lack, you know, if you really believe in lack and you're having trouble paying your bills and then you start to tithe, I'm stuttering while I say it, is that, you know, when my husband and I started to tithe, we were tested. We didn't have any income for like 2 months, and we had these humongous bills, and it didn't look like any money was coming, and it's a long story to tell you the reason that was there at that time, but I just tithed ahead on my American Express card, and you have to pay that every month.
You bet.
You know, and we had worked long and hard on getting our credit to be excellent, so we put our little butt squarely on the line, and God came through.
Love.
And now there is money ahead of time. Ahead of time.
Always.
And, you know, we never paid our property taxes on time, stuff like that. We always had to pay penalties on that. That's always paid on time now.
That's wonderful.
Isn't it?
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. It's like once you know who you work for truly,
yes,
and you are working for the family business,
yes,
then it, and you give your 10%. I mean, I've had a completely different attitude about money. I am not afraid to buy anything.
Good for you.
And usually I can write a check, charge it, or there's another way, I can't think of it, or pay cash.
Mm-hmm.
All three ways, and it's a really good feeling.
It's wonderful. It's the way it should be, because the promise is abundance. The promise is abundance. But we haven't believed that for the most part, but we're learning to believe it. Thank you, God.
Oh, yes. So go on to the second one, Edwin.
Well, now, another one, the second spiritual law, that this one has become a cliche. We talk a lot about it. We know we should do it. But a lot of people just keep postponing or think they've done it, and they really haven't.
It's like going on a diet.
Yeah. It's like going on a diet. It's that notion of forgiveness. It was mentioned so many times in the scriptures, and it really is. It's like an internal house cleaning to make room for the good that you desire. You just cannot hold on to guilt and shame and blame and judgment and condemnation and resentment and bitterness. You just can't do it without hurting yourself. That stuff is taking up room in your consciousness, in your space, where your good wants to flow. But your good can't get in because you've got it all blocked up with all this gobbledygook about who did what to whom and who can we blame now and whose fault is it and, oh my God, I did something awful, shame on me. And we really have to get to a space where we recognize that every single one of us has done something that we wouldn't want on the blimp busting over the ball game. And we've got to spend time every day.
We wouldn't say that again.
Well, haven't we? We've all done things that we wouldn't want up there flashing over the ball game saying, oh, Iris did this or Edwin did that. For God's sakes, we're human. We've made mistakes. And when we were born, we were not given a manual about how to live. And most of us were raised by imperfect parents. I don't mean that they were nasty or mean. Some were. But they were imperfect, and they loved us as much as they knew how to love us, coming from their background and their experience. And so most of us have little agendas, little blames, little guilt, little shames that we carry around with us, and we need to really spend some time. One of my techniques is every night before I go to sleep, I ask myself in prayer, have I put anyone outside my heart today? And if I have, I spend some time inviting them back in and forgiving myself, first of all, treating myself the way I would treat a small little child who's made a mistake. You wouldn't beat up the little child. You would forgive them, and you would say, now, this is the way, this is a better way to do this, and to treat yourself with that kind of tender kindness and that gentle, sweet spirit of love and tenderness and forgiveness, the same way you would treat a little child. And that way you open yourself up to the ability to receive more.
Well, you know,
and we all have those people out there that we could blame, the ones, you know, who did it to us, you know, ex-husbands or ex-wives or bosses or churches or employees or whoever. But to hold on to that kind of a grudge, it hurts you. It doesn't hurt them.
What's that saying? It's like drinking poison and expecting the other person
to
die.
Yeah, it's like taking poison and expecting the other guy to die.
Well,
it doesn't work that way.
Well, you know what? When I first started working with forgiveness, I didn't want to do it. And you know why?
Why?
I didn't want to let those people off of being assholes. Because they were.
I know. But again, it doesn't mean that it was okay what they did. It just means that we don't hold on to it as part of the karma that we expect from them. That's between them and their God, not between us and them.
Well, you know, what about the thing in the Course in Miracles that says what you think your brother, forgiveness means what you think your brother did to you has not occurred?
Yeah.
Well, you know, what I think sometimes is, what if I made all that shit up, you know, and
yeah.
I just did it. See, I had a teacher that said, our enemy isn't one another. Our common enemy is the ego, the part that thinks,
yes,
I was so wronged.
Yes.
You know, and wants to make, and is looking for a reason for us to be separate.
Absolutely.
And against each other.
And trying, always wanting to be right.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I've ever done that, but
I know. Me either. You're so cute, Edwin. I so much enjoyed doing your class, and you know, Jay and Sunny and me are going to do your Master Prosperity.
That's
teacher,
wonderful.
Class.
Yes. That's in May.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I really want people to have this.
That's
I really
great.
Want people to be free.
Yes, and we can be free. And we can show others how to be free just by living a full and happy and joyous life and a sharing life where we share all the good that we have with other people as well, the way that you do so beautifully.
Thank you, Edwin. And the way you do so beautifully. And there was something you know, in working with people about these issues, about really allowing themselves to receive, the thing that comes up is, you know, the not deserving thing. And, boy, I just had about, and the reason people don't feel they deserve is because others have so much less, and I've tried to get them to say, yes, it would help everyone for me to have what I want. And that seems like a big barrier for a lot of people.
Yes, yes. For because there is so much to go around, there is enough for everyone. But the truth is, you can't make people receive. You just can't make them receive. And it's kind of, I don't want to sound arrogant when I say this, because I mean it with all humility. But I could not take a book of Shakespeare to a 3-year-old and say, read this. They're not ready. So they have to get ready, and they have to start at the level where they are. And where they are is just the perfect level for them to learn the lessons that they have to learn in order at some level to read Shakespeare, if that's one of their goals. So everybody, my belief system is that everybody is working at exactly the right level, and every time that we can help and lift up a level, oh, praise God, praise God.
Well, you know, I used to work with people to come together with their twin flame.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, I was just so desperate for everyone to have their twin flame, because I didn't feel that I deserved to have it unless I could easily communicate it in a way that people could move through things and have it easier than I have.
Yes.
And so that's what I'm talking about. I think that that's been a major thing for me that I've had to learn. And I think so many other people feel that way. They either feel like they want to hide their abundance,
mm-hmm.
or give half of it away.
You're right. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because they feel ashamed to have more than other people.
Exactly.
I've seen it very commonly with people.
Yeah. But the more you have, the more you can share.
Yeah.
Look at Bill Gates. Wouldn't you love to be able to share at that level?
I could really, you know, if he wanted me to, I could really help him spend his money, too.
Yes, we could.
Edwin and me volunteer to be in charge of your philanthropy services.
He seems to be doing pretty well. God bless him.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, though, is that notoriety, you know, I've been a little nervous about that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like I'd like to have an anonymous foundation that gives out money to good causes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you.
Well, okay, talk about the third.
Well, the third spiritual law is that law of asking and receiving, asking for what you want. I call it the law of goal setting. You know, the master teachers say, ask for what you want. In some scriptures it says, you have not because you ask not. And a part of that is back to exactly what you were talking about feeling guilty for having so much that you feel guilty for asking for more. But my belief is that those desires that we have were placed in us by God to lead us along our spiritual pathway. And as we honor those desires and we go for them, whether or not they make us happy when we get them, that's not the important part. The important thing is it gets us in motion toward where we're supposed to be going. And so I believe that we have a right to every single thing our heart desires. Most of the time, I find that when we get what we really think we want, that's not it. And so we have to say, oh, but it led me this far. So what's next? What is it that I really, truly want? And I do believe that every desire that we have comes from God. And it's the Father's good pleasure for us to honor those desires and go for what we think we want, because they're leading us somewhere, somewhere along our spiritual pathway that we wouldn't ordinarily go unless we gave ourselves permission to go for those desires.
Well, you know what I found about that is it's always about loving myself.
Like, yes.
I remember in the 80s, my husband and I were working with a master of manifestation, and our house had burned down. We had less than nothing. We owed money on it, and we owed money on less than nothing. And we were being sued because we couldn't pay all of it. And I started working with her. My husband started working with her, and we manifested a 1981 928 Porsche, which was like, it had a sticker price of $48,000 or something then, which was, I don't even know what it would be now.
Yeah.
And it was a good thing. I didn't know how much they cost, because I would, my rational mind would have gone, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
And someone had given me a gorgeous emerald ring, and we manifested a house that when my mother-in-law came over, she said, you know, haughtily and angrily, that it was a mansion. So we didn't have a lot of support. And I had begun teaching on prosperity, and I was with my twin flame, and I should have been so happy, but how I felt was, oh, my God, how does God expect me to be in order to have this? Not the person I have been being.
Yes.
Or I would always feel like I was making up for something. And I just kept asking, how does God expect me to be to have this? And I got very, very sick.
Mm.
And so I just, it feels like it's that back to that forgiveness thing. But it really feels like the core of why people don't say yes to their heart's desires, you know?
I think you're exactly right. It has to do with that sense of worthiness. And in order to feel worthy, we have to have our forgiveness work done. And we have to be working on it, at least. And that means on a daily basis, for all the silly little things that we do, maybe not saying the right thing at the right time, or cutting someone off in traffic, or doing things we know that we shouldn't do, to really work on forgiveness on a daily, moment-by-moment basis will enable us to feel worthy to have the things that we deeply desire.
Well, and I think that worthiness thing also, the piece that's there is, there's an identity crisis, you know, identifying with the personality instead of the God self.
Right.
Talk about that some, Edwin.
Well, you know, the ego wants to show off, doesn't it? The ego wants to have the better car or live in the fancier home. But sometimes that's not where the real joy is. Sometimes the real joy is in the simple, simple life, not doing without what you really want. But sometimes the ego has to be satisfied first before we can come to the realization that this isn't it. This isn't what makes us happy. And so the ego is plays some wonderful games with us, and that's why I believe that prayer is so important, to spend time in prayer and to really figure out where is this coming from? Is this coming from ego, or is this coming from my spirit, from my whole spirit of God that is within me?
Well, you know, a question that I like to ask is, does this feed my soul?
Yes.
Does it feed my soul to go shopping now?
Yes.
Does it feed my soul to buy this? Does it feed my soul to eat this? Does it, you know?
Yeah.
Does it feed my soul to, and it's, for me, it's the going directly to my source that feeds my soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's spending that time in prayer and meditation. Talk about that, because there is so much pressure against that, really.
Absolutely. And some people think that a prayer time has to be formal. And there are times where formal prayer is wonderful, but there's also, prayer can happen just as you're pulling into your driveway at home, saying, you can say, what is the next thing that is the right thing for me to do? It's just a simple little thing to be able to have this inner communication with your highest self, the holy self within you, the soul self within you, to be able to have that kind of communication on a daily, moment-by-moment, constant occurrence. And then also to spend time where you're just sitting there alone with you and your God listening. And so I think we need more and more classes on prayer, in my opinion, because some people think prayer is something that you do only on Sunday or in church or
only
in some formal situation.
Really in
trouble. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, that God only answers prayers for horrible diseases, and
right.
If you're totally out of money and your car quit in the middle
right.
of the night.
That's right. For every simple little thing, there is a right and holy answer if we just have the willingness to ask. And
well,
that's
so,
what prayer is.
So you're talking about practicing the presence, and you're talking about that praying without ceasing.
Exactly.
Well, also about you, Edwin, is you are not afraid to have a really personal, down-to-earth relationship with God.
Yes.
That is accessible. And I love some of your talks where you've said, now, God, honey, this is what I'm really going to need here. This is what I'm really going to need. And I think that's so important. Over and over and over it said, God is nearer than your breath.
Yeah.
God isn't off
Absolutely.
Somewhere playing golf.
Yeah, there's a line from a wonderful play called Inherit the Wind that talks about one of the characters as looking for God too far away, too high up and too far away. And God is as near as our breath, and that's what we need to know, that it's not, you don't have to get in any certain kind of position, or you don't have to breathe so many deep breaths, and you don't have to om so many times. God is right there in the question that you long to ask. That's the question that you should ask, and the answer is always there.
Say that again. I sort of went off on something you said. You ask what the question is you need to ask?
Yeah, what I was trying to convey is that God is as close as the question that you have to ask, and you don't have to sit around in some formal situation, and you don't have to take so many deep breaths, and you don't have to do so many ohms, although those are all wonderful things to do. But God is as close as the answer that as the question that you're asking. The answer is right there. As soon as you ask your question, the answer is there.
Well, and that's the relationship that I want with God. And I think that that's what people are really asking for.
Yeah. The hunger. There's a hunger to know God as real, not just something that shows up when we, you know, when we need God to heal somebody or take care of this big, huge problem, but, you know, to be with God moment by moment by moment.
And, you know, that's what we're really looking for with that house or that car or...
Exactly.
I think it's important to come to that place of knowing that you can manifest anything.
Yes, absolutely.
And that you could be dropped in the middle of the desert and, you know, with just your consciousness and in 10 minutes have water, food, shelter,
exactly,
friends, clothes.
Absolutely. Whatever you wanted.
Yes, I think that's important. But it's the purpose of opulence and lavish abundance is peace.
Yes.
And joy and being available to spread light. And that's the thing I want to get across to people. It is okay to have plenty.
Yes.
You know, I remember being really defensive. You know, like my husband was raised in the projects. I was raised partly in government housing. Our parents went through the Depression. They had lots of money, and they lived in a Spartan, self-negating sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
My dad left all kinds of money to me, and when he died, I couldn't wait to get rid of it because I had always wanted him to spend it and have a good time.
Yes.
And it felt like it had the aura of suffering about it.
Yes, absolutely.
So when my husband and I started living in what my mother-in-law called mansions, I felt very defensive. And people would say things like, assume we were drug dealers or something, that we had a
right.
car like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that, you know, we have to, the money has to be in the hands of people that are doing good.
Yeah, and to come to that realization, I think, Iris, I think we have to come to the pure knowing that we are loved, that we are lovable just as we are, even though we have made mistakes. We don't have to be so-called perfect in order to be loved, that we're loved exactly the way we are, and it's God's good pleasure to give us more and more love in any form that we want. And our job is to begin to ask for that, to forgive and to tithe, to trust God with that. And then that spiritual law number 4 is we've got to get on purpose with our lives. We've got to figure out what we're here for. And instead of just floating through life, we've got to make some decisions about what we want our life to stand for when we're gone. What do we want to have accomplished? What are we here doing right now that will make this a better world for other people?
And for every living thing, for the earth itself.
Yes.
Well, and you know what? That's where the true satisfaction and fun and joy lies. It's everyone I've ever worked with, after they got the relationship handled, after they paid all the bills, after they lost the 20 pounds, they wanted to do something that made a difference. They wanted to give something to life.
Yes.
That's the real heart's desire that I've seen with every person. They want to live the fulfillment of their divine blueprint.
Absolutely.
And so, and they want to practice the presence.
And so the way to start doing this, I believe, is to start having fun today. Not to wait for some day to have fun, but to begin to schedule in those things. In the midst, I know a lot of people have very busy schedules, but to schedule in rolling on the floor with the dogs if you want to, or taking a walk in the park, or having lunch with a good friend, or just playing a round of golf, just doing something that would really bring some joy into your life, the more joy you bring into your life. You know, the mystics say the surest sign of the presence of God is joy.
That's so wonderful.
Isn't that great?
It's the truth, too. It is absolutely the truth. I want you to tell people how they can reach you, and I encourage people to get on Edwin's mailing list. I encourage people to take her classes. I will be there for the Master Prosperity Teacher's Training in May. I can't wait, Edwin.
Oh, I love it. I'm so happy that you're coming. Well, I have a website, and the website is prosperityproducts.com. It's P-R-O-S-P-E-R-I-T-Y. Products, P-R-O-D-U-C-T-S.com, prosperityproducts.com, and that has my itinerary where I'll be speaking. I'll be in California later in December. I'll be in South Carolina, in Tennessee, in Texas in January. And it has the different events I have here at my retreat center. And my mailing address is P.O. Box 125, and that's Valley Head, V-A-L-L-E-Y-H-E-A-D, that's two words, Alabama, that's A-L, 35989.
Thank you, Edwin, and let's see, where do we go from here? What else do you, what's on your mind and heart that you're wanting to you know, what if your meditation sort of...
Well, this particular time of year, I think, is very important. There's a great deal of stress and anxiety, as much joy as there is around Christmas. And I would just urge people to be very good to yourself at Christmas time and not spend money that you don't have. Don't let your ego get in charge and impress people with how wonderful your gifts are. Love yourself enough to stay within your boundaries. But if you really, really want to begin to prosper, my suggestion is that you start right now, 1/10, send it out wherever you receive your spiritual food. Spend some time today before your head hits your pillow tonight doing your forgiveness work. Write down at least three goals, three things that you want to accomplish, or three things that you want to get, and then schedule in some time for yourself during this holiday season to have some really good fun. My suggestion is that you get after loving yourself right away.
Get after it, huh?
Get after it.
Apply yourself to it. You know, people talk about commitment to one another, and people are so frightened of that. But what about being committed to yourself?
Absolutely.
Taking care of yourself.
You can't really love anyone else until you do love yourself. It's just, it's a myth. You can't do it. It's called martyrdom, and that's never served anyone.
You know, when you're martyring yourself, what I have found is somebody is going to pay.
That's right.
That's what I did for you. Don't we all love that one?
I love it. That is wonderful.
Edwin, I wanted to remind people that we're giving away 5 autographed copies of your wonderful book, The 4 Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. I really recommend that people have that book because just holding it in my hand gives me the experience of your consciousness. And your consciousness is very lavish. It's very gentle. It's very strong. It's very grounded. And it's very practical.
Thank you.
I so admire all of those things about yourself and the ease and grace with which you live.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I want to tell people again, the first 5 people that email me at miracleshp@yahoo.com will receive a free autographed copy of Edwin's wonderful best-selling book. And if you don't want it for yourself, you might might want to give it for a Christmas gift. It's, I can't recommend it enough. And you know what else you recommend and you sent me a copy was the Charles Fillmore book.
Oh, yes, Prosperity by Charles Fillmore is a wonderful, wonderful book. And I also have CDs and tapes, and my book is on audio. You can get it on audio on Amazon.com.
I'm going to order some of those.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, they don't read books, but they do a lot of traveling.
Right. Right.
Woo-hoo!
It's doing very well. The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity is on audio, and you can get it on Amazon.com. It's doing really, really well.
I'm not surprised. I am not. Nothing you would do could surprise me, Edwin.
Bless your heart. Thank you so much.
That is the truth. You know, I wanted to go back to the goal setting because I think a lot of people get a little hung up on that one.
Uh-huh.
And they'll say, well, you know, God knows what I need. Well, if you go in a restaurant and you just say, give me food, they might bring me ham hocks, and I am a vegetarian.
That's right.
I do nothing with lard.
That's right. Absolutely.
And that's why over.
That's why the teaching of the master teacher is ask, and you shall receive. Of course God knows what we need, but we don't. And so we have to be, we're learning. We're learning by asking for what we think we want. And most of the time, the things that we think we want are not the things that will bring us the most pleasure. But that's how we learn.
Yeah.
So we have to go, if you go into a restaurant, as you say, and you just say, just bring me whatever you think I would like. Well, that's ridiculous. They, as you say, they could bring you ham hocks or sauerkraut or some disgusting thing that you wouldn't enjoy at all.
Well, and I'd probably have to forgive them, make them wrong, send a bat.
But how much easier it is to go ahead and say, oh, well, I would like to have a lovely little salad here with maybe a baked potato on the side.
Ew.
Maybe some steamed vegetables, you know? How much quicker and easier it is to go that way.
Well, you know, that brings me to how a lot of people have been treated is when they have ordered what they wanted or they have put themselves in that, out in that way, they've been treated like, well, who do you think you are?
Oh, I know.
And,
I know.
And so those are the people that we have to forgive, and also we
Absolutely.
Have to forgive that part in ourselves that's done that to ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right.
Edwin, say again how people can reach you.
You can reach me. My mailing address is P.O. Box 125, Valley, V-A-L-L-E-Y, Head, H-E-A-D, Alabama. That's A-L, 35989. That's the mailing address. And the webpage is prosperityproducts.com. Prosperityproducts.com, and that's PROSPERITYPRODUCTS.com, prosperityproducts.com. Just look up my name if you want to look. It's Edwene, Edwene Gaines, Gaines, and you'll find me.
And what a find. It's like finding both ends of the rainbow.
Oh, darling, you're so sweet.
I am so appreciative of goodness and beauty and of upliftment. And you do that with all your heart and soul for all life.
Thank you, darling.
I am so grateful for you. And it raises my acceptance level just to hear your voice.
Oh, what a kind thing to say. Thank you so much.
Well,
I love talking with you also, Dawn.
Thank you, Edwin. Let's see. Oh, I know what I wanted to say. The most important thing about prosperity for me is that it, you know, like everybody I ever know has more flowers.
Mm-hmm.
everybody I ever come in contact with, they have more flowers. From then on, they have more flowers. Mm-hmm. And it's important to me that I use every single thing I have, everything that's been given into my hands, I say to God, how can I spread the most love and light with this? And if it's given it away, I do. Mm. Are you there?
Yes.
I thought I lost you there for a minute. And then the other thing, and I think you stressed this over and over in your book and in your work, is that it's really not prosperity unless what we're giving out into the world with our work, with what we do in the world, with what we produce, if it blesses all life, if it uplifts all life.
Absolutely. Powerful, powerful stuff.
And if it doesn't bless all life, even if it looks like somebody is powerfully, powerfully wealthy, look at their life and see if that's really how you want to live.
Exactly. Powerful instructions.
Yeah, so I want the wealth for all of us that blesses and uplifts and heals and illumines and prospers lavishly all life.
And you're exactly doing that for the world. So thank you, God, for Iris.
And likewise, my darling. And thank you for being here, Edwin.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
And I want to thank everyone for listening. And I also want to invite you to listen next week. We have a master botanical natural perfumer, Lori Stern, who is an animal activist who only uses the most uplifting and gentle and healing and natural products, and who is lavishly abundant. So this is part of our prosperity series and part of my encouraging everyone to live your dreams, and to be what you came to be, do, and have. And so we'll be back 2 o'clock on Monday. Until then, happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. God bless you. I love you. And this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Our men, our women, our children, and yee-haw!